Okay, I'll admit it. I love watching old newsreels on YouTube. This one features long-distance swimmer Greta Anderson as she prepares for the 1959 Channel Race, sponsored by an English businessman named Billy Butlin.
Twice already, she's won the cross-channel swim. If she wins again this year, the trophy will be hers outright, says Mr. Butlin.
Greta didn't win the race that year, but Butlin let her keep the trophy anyway. Long-distance swimming made Greta Anderson famous, but hers is really an Olympic story. And like many Olympic stories, it involves challenge, adversity, and more than a little luck. Reporter Susan Vallett talked with Greta in her home in Orange County, California.
Greta Anderson's home is dotted with mementos from her storied past. Framed ads featuring Greta for things like vitamins, motorboats, and swimming pools hang on the wall. And tucked away in a corner of the living room, a glass case filled with silver trophies, including a giant cup for winning that race across the English Channel. Next to that trophy sits a petite gold medal on a gold chain, a reminder of a life a long time ago.
Sometimes you have a talent and you don't know it before you start working on it.
Greta was 12 years old in the spring of 1940 when Nazis took over her native Denmark.
I still remember the airplane coming over. They were dropping all kind of pamphlets, and they said, "You are occupied by the German. You don't have a king anymore. We are in charge." That was pretty horrible. They didn't like the Jews, and we had Jews living where I was living, and I can still hear them coming up the stairs and taking down the people and putting people up against the wall and just shooting people just in front. I saw it. They just shoot people and they don't care. They were very nasty. At 12 year old, you kind of don't really realize how bad it is. You just realize that, oh, God, this is strange. They're shooting on the streets.
Greta's brother was a decade older than her and a freedom fighter, part of the Danish resistance movement. The fighters would get into battles with Nazis, shooting from windows on upper floors of buildings, including in Greta's hometown outside of Copenhagen.
One time my dad and I was right in the middle of a big gunfight, and we stayed right in the middle of the road, and there was shooting from the windows. And my dad said, "Stay in the middle, stay in the middle, don't go to the side." We didn't get shot. We made it, obviously. Yeah.
During the war, Greta's parents were worried that German soldiers would rape her, so they dressed her like a boy.
I didn't like I had to wear boys' clothes. I remember that, and they got my hair cut. Now, all of a sudden, you have to wear pants and boys' shoes and short hair. So I was dressed like a boy for 5 years when they were occupied us.
German forces surrendered in May of 1945 and withdrew from Denmark.
And I can still see them walking out with all the belongings they stole, all the bags and all the clothes. And we were yelling at them when they walked out, the damn Germans.
After the occupation, Greta's life started to return to normal. Her dad decided that she should learn how to swim. After all, she lived in a country almost entirely surrounded by water.
I was 16. I still couldn't swim. My dad tried to teach me, but I had a big inner tube on, and they were just making fun of me. I didn't want to get out of the inner tube.
Greta's dad eventually got her out of the inner tube at the local community pool, where she attracted a different sort of attention.
There was a swim coach there. Her name was Elsa Jacobsen. She was one of the best swimmers Denmark ever had, and she happened to see me swim. And she made me swim 50 meters, and I didn't know how to breathe. So I swam the 50 meters holding my breath. She said, "Well, you got good lungs. We have something to work with."
Jacobsen started coaching Greta in her own time, and Greta began to swim with the local club team. A month or so later, she placed third at the European Championship, her first swimming competition.
In 1 year, I was among the best three in the world, and then I became the best in the world. I guess I had the talent.
Soon, Greta was making plans to swim for Denmark at the 1948 Olympics in London, this was the first Olympics after the war, the first Olympics in 12 years.
And I got special privileges because I was the best one in Denmark at that time. I didn't go by boat because they didn't want me to get seasick. Oh, I remember. So the coach and me got to fly to London.
And when she got there, it was a celebration with dorms and arenas filled with people from around the world, happy.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Denmark was expected to do well, with Greta leading the charge. She had the best time in the world in the 400-meter freestyle. But she was due to start her period, and team advisors were worried that would affect her performance. So they gave her a shot to try to hold it off. To this day, at nearly 90 years old, Greta still doesn't know what it was. But it didn't hit her until she was in the pool, swimming her best event.
And of course I was in the leave, and then I just fainted. I know they put me in this room and next to the pool, and I woke up. And what happened? I don't remember what happened. I fainted. But I would have won that 400 meter. And because of that, they didn't put me as an anchor of the relay. They were afraid that I would get sick again. So they put me second. We were going to have the gold medal and the four-time 100 relay. And, of course, we lost to America with one-tenth of a second.
Greta's misremembering. They actually lost by four-tenths of a second. Greta did win gold in the individual 100-meter freestyle.
When I won, they pulled me out of the water and made sure to help me put on the red pants and the white sweater, the Danish color of the flag. So I probably still have my wetsuit underneath and hair was still wet. They pulled me right up. I was standing on the podium, and it was a very wonderful feeling. The Danish flag go up, and they were playing the national song. And behind me was the English king and queen. Oh, of course, it was wonderful. On the train home, it was all down with the windows and wave. And every train station had, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people. They were just, hello, welcome, gold medal. And it was a big thing, you know. I really didn't expect it, but it didn't take long to get used to it. I got tired to stand there and wave and wave and wave. I remember one of the swimmers said, let me help you. So she put on the uniform and waved because I couldn't lift my arms anymore.
An excited mob filled the streets outside of Greta's home, the same streets where a few short years before German soldiers had executed Jews. She got so many flowers that she ended up donating them to hospitals around Denmark because they wouldn't fit in her flat. That feeling of fear, hiding as a boy during the war, gone. Greta moved to the U.S. She got married and found even greater fame as a long-distance swimmer. But nothing would compare to the 1948 Olympics.
When I think back about it, it just seemed like another lifetime. It changed my life. It changed my life.
For Only a Game, I'm Susan Vallett.